Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The Footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle for McDonald's Gourmet Creations.
Triple M rocks footy.
Well, coming to you from the SCG tonight, massive game. The Swans haven't won a game. The Pies haven't won a game. And Buddy is playing game number 250. Joining us tonight on the Friday Huddle, Jordan Lewis on his good mate Buddy Franklin. Dane Rampey, the man that fell over a chain, broke his arm and wasn't able to play. He will join us. Robert Harvey from the Collingwood Football Club. The pressure test is back. Judge Juddy as well. Big team assembled here on a Friday night. Nathan Brown is here, Damian Barrett is here, Luke Darcy is here, and Judge Juddy, Chris Judd himself is here. We all travelled up together apart from you, Juddy, who decided to take your own flight today. Welcome, hello to everyone.
Good to be here, Howie, and well, I think you've just waded straight into the obvious one. Juddy went solo today.
He did.
And,
was it a chartered flight? Or was it
I flew commercial, which was strange, but good to mix it up. And just had a few things I had to take care of prior, Howie. But,
anything you'd like to let us know about?
See, when the email came out that I thought that we're all coming up on the 3 o'clock flight, Juddy's going up on his own at 11. That has to have some sort of cash component for me. I don't understand why he'd come up without us.
Not fair. Not fair and hurtful. But
was it possible that it was this, enough of the twins? Just get up here, early check-in, couple of hours sleep in the afternoon and quick
little
share
bit of Judd
out
time?
To the
SCG. Just a little bit of me time, Juddy?
I think, to be honest, when you blokes just rock up without your own segment, you don't realise the sort of work that goes into having your own segment, the pressure that comes with that. And, yeah, I did need a little bit of time for myself just to get it right, but I can report back that the segment's come up well and I'm ready to rock and roll.
I think
we'll be the judge of
it. He's opening a Sydney office. Yeah. I think he's expanding, and just stay tuned. It's going to be global domination by year out is where I think that's at.
We're all in a good frame of mind, and we rolled into the box this afternoon. And Troy Luff, the Sydney superstar who is on the boundary, he wandered in here, and well, he's flattened one of the team members. Well, it'd be fair to say,
he's no superstar.
He's a player's player.
It's obvious who he's flattened, because, Nath, you've walked in here, and he said to you, oh, Brownie, why are you back at Triple M? You used to be calling. Now your special comments, next you'll be down on the boundary, and you had nothing to say about it, Brownie.
Well, it caught me off guard, I must admit. It did catch me off guard, and I hope it rains all night out there, like down there, with your fake hair.
Now, I've known this man since he was 17 years of age, Nathan Brownie. I've never seen him sat on his backside quite like it. It took the wind right out of his sails, it's fair to say.
I didn't come back as well as what I thought I would. I'm a bit off my game, and I'm very disappointed, because I normally come back nastier and angrier, and I missed a chance.
Damo, the big story of the week, and congratulations to the Footy Show last night, getting an exclusive with Gary Ablett. I watched it last night. I found it fascinating. I found it at times excruciating. I found it interesting. I found it
awkward.
A little bit awkward as well.
It was probably all of that, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
The awkward element came when he was asked to look at some body language vision, which it was either seen for the first time and didn't react well to, or was just actually dawning on him that it hadn't been good last week. But look, I think for those who haven't heard it, Howie, we've all got views on it, and I want to get the guys' views on it, because I think everyone's got a different take of what it now means for Gary Ablett and the Gold Coast Suns. But for those who didn't hear it, here's a snapshot.
This may be my last season. I've got some things going on in my life that I'm not going to elaborate on, but they're my number one priority at the moment. And you know, I said to the club that I'm super committed to this year, and that I'm going to give it everything. But I don't know what 2018 holds for me. You know, if it does end up being my last, I want to make sure that I make the most of it. I want to play finals football, and we're only two rounds into the season. There's still another 20 games to go, and I'm confident that we can get back to playing some good football. No, of course I'm not ruling out playing at the Suns. It's just a discussion that I need to have with the club at the end of the year. I just wish all the talk would stop. I am committed to this football club, and I'll be giving my all every single week.
Clearly chose to use that platform to get some messages out there, and everyone will read something slightly different into each of those messages. I'm keen, Juddy, just as a recently retired player who obviously had decisions to make, you've changed clubs as Gary Ablett did. What did you take out of what you heard last night?
Well, look, it is very hard to walk away from the game when it's something you love and it's what you've done for so long. I was really clear I was going to retire at the end of 2014 and change my mind. But that's obviously where Gary feels he's currently at. But, to be honest, firstly, I think there's been a heap made of his form. In reality, it's just one poor game. I think in reality he'll have plenty of good footy left in him this year. But it doesn't sound like he's keen to hang around Gold Coast next year, to state the bleeding obvious.
Yeah. And Darcy and Brownie, as a footy club, in this case, Gold Coast Suns, when they hear their former captain, the man they've invested $10 million plus in with more to come, how would they have taken that? Because there is a takeout of what he said, that the proverbial gun to the head has now been placed on them as to get me out of this club, otherwise I'm not playing. That is a take you could have out of it.
Yeah, and I think you've got to face the facts as a football club. When you've got someone in an environment who's not happy, and he is a genuinely unhappy player at the moment, and you know, he's decided personal reasons, Damo, we won't go into any of that.
No.
I know you've probably got the background on those stories. You've got someone who genuinely doesn't want to be there, you're foolish to think that they are a good asset to your club. He is one of the greatest players that the game has ever seen. If he wants out of that football club, they should be facilitating it. What he did at the start of his tenure up there was remarkable. I think he played the best individual season just about the game has ever seen, winning the Brownlow. Defied all logic. Everyone said he'd get smashed up there without the protection of the great Geelong midfielders. He went up there and he blew everyone away. So it's not as though he hasn't been committed. The environment of that football club hasn't been a great environment, and he needs to get out, and they should help him do it at the end of the year.
He has been committed, and I agree with the fact that that season was unbelievable, and a lot of people doubted that his leadership capabilities, and everyone was saying, how good was Gary Ablett? But as if I was a young kid watching that last night, I'd feel that disheartened about my former captain, a player that they probably idolise, that his heart's not really... He's saying, yes, I'm committed, but to me last night, his heart wasn't in it, and yes... A few years ago, he was unbelievably committed and he played great football, but it doesn't seem that way now. You hear out of the club last year, he wasn't going to play until his shoulder was completely fixed or completely 100%, and a lot of people probably would have played with that shoulder. He chose not to play, and I think there's just a build-up of things that if I was a teammate of his, I'd be pretty disheartened right now looking at the next 20 weeks, knowing we've been belted in the first two rounds, and he thinks that maybe they're going to play finals because there's 20 weeks to go. They're not going to play finals.
And there's so many spin-offs for the impact of what he said. Corporately speaking, for instance, 0-2 Brownie, as you say, it's hard to sell memberships they haven't already sold to this point. It's hard to sell corporate packages and super boxes for the games that remain. But there has been, no doubt, guys, a softening of the Gold Coast Suns themselves' stance on Gary. Now, it didn't come necessarily exclusively on the back of that interview last night, but since Tony Cochran on the Footy Show about a month ago was adamant that basically over his dead body would Gary Ablett leave the club and play elsewhere, I know that there has been internally a softening on the situation that Gary's dealt with. And, Jas, you touched on it. We're not going to broadcast what it is. We feel we know what it is, but it is, as Gary has said, family/personal reasons for why he is now of this view that he has to get out of the Gold Coast.
Judd, if you were the Geelong Football Club, would you be trying to make that happen, trying to get Gary Ablett back to Geelong?
Look, it depends what the deal looks like, but as a general rule, I wouldn't be trying to bring 34-year-olds into the club, which is what he'll be next year, even if he is the greatest player of all time, because those last years in your footy career are really hard work, and... doesn't matter who you are, you get to your mid-30s, it's hard to play good
footy. Well, just on that, Jody, Adam Simpson has chosen effectively to do that with Sam Mitchell this year. But you would say a player regarded even greater than Sam Mitchell, not worth the risk?
Yeah, well, again, it depends what the deal is. So Sam Mitchell's not on huge bucks, and they didn't give up much for him in terms of trade-wise. But yeah, regardless, I think the end of your career is a really trying time for players, and you often become... at times, a liability to the team. And Gary's nowhere near that yet, neither Sam Mitchell, but that's what's coming in the next year or two for those guys, as it is for everyone.
Would it be fair to say, Damien, that there was some angst from the Gold Coast Suns when they found out that Gary Ablett was going to appear on the Footy Show?
I think it's fair to say that there was some. I'm not absolutely directly aware of it, but I've been told that there was, in that, like, I think every single media outlet going around on Monday, people made approaches to the club and even Gary personally to do something, and he chose to use the Footy Show. And again, for some people, I don't know how much was paid. I don't actually officially know if something was paid. I'm assuming there probably was, because that often is the case when it comes to someone like a Gary Ablett. But he chose the forum, I know that for a fact. He wanted to use the platform of the Footy Show for the reasons that are best known to him. And we saw him last night. It's not as if he came, like he sometimes can be, prepared to play the straight bat for everything. He did give a depth of answer that had been different to what he'd done in the past. So, yeah, but getting back to your question, Howie, the club would have, at least earlier in the week, I think, preferred him to have done a general media conference. Yes.
In the media, we complain and complain and complain when people aren't straight with us in the AFL world. is Gary Ablett being penalised for being honest? He was pretty honest last night, and he was pretty open. And we sit here and whack blokes, like when they say, oh, why didn't Buddy tell us when he was leaving, or Dangerfield, and we look at the rugby league model, and they come out and say it in round four, and it seems to work okay.
I remember Ryan Griffin played his first game for the Bulldogs, played against Richmond, and it was about an 80-point win, Brownie. I'm not sure which side of the equation you were on, and he did his first interview. They're my favourite interviews in football, when you grab a first game player. I hope we do it tonight, because we've got a first gamer tonight. And they're inexperienced, and particularly back then, they're a bit more media trained now. And he came off, he said, oh, it's an unbelievable experience. He said, could not believe the Richmond players. They were, you know, fighting amongst themselves, getting stuck into each other. As soon as I heard them fighting amongst themselves, I knew that we had the game won. He got smashed.
Yeah.
He got absolutely slaughtered. They were going to target him next year, upstart in his first game. What a smarter. He's never spoken again. He has never, ever, ever said a word ever again. That was the end of him. It's what we do. You tell the truth and we just give it to you. It's amazing. I'm a bit different with you, Juddy. Maybe it's a fairy tale, a bit of nostalgia, but I feel like Gary Ablett's different. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'd love to see him as a permanent small forward. I think the way he's played the game, the strength and the power he's got. If I was Geelong, if you get him on the minimum wage, that'd test whether or not he wanted to do this for the right reasons. The fairy tale of getting him back to Geelong, playing as a permanent small forward. I know they got rid of Stevie Jane. There's a lot of reasons not to do it, but I'd love to see that. I'd love to see 2 or 3 years of him back at Geelong, and I think he could do it.
Yeah, look, I think get him on the minimum wage and you don't give anything back to Gold Coast, great deal, but I think that's unlikely to happen.
So would he walk away from a contract? Is that the case? I mean, he's obviously on over $1 million next year. How does it work? How would he get back to Geelong?
At one stage of that interview last night, he said that was a possibility. At another stage of it, when there was a subsequent question asked, he then sort of backtracked off and said, I'm still committed to the Gold Coast. So he's still wading through all of that. But I think everything's on the table. I think if it gets really angsty, I feel that he could actually walk from the game. But as I said, there is, as a fact, Howie, a softening from the Gold Coast Suns. It's happened in the past 3 to 4 weeks on Gary Ablett's future. I'd be surprised, despite Tony Cochran's words, I'd be surprised if they absolutely blocked it.
Is he being punished unfairly for one poor game?
Yeah,
all right,
because he got 8 coaches' votes in round one. Dane Beams got 10, he got 8.
Number 23, Lance Franklin.
Franklin at the back, Tarrant with him. Buddy outside of the boot, dribbles.
Hooker went up, could have given away a free kick, and he has. Franklin plays on, takes a bounce. He's getting away from Hooker. Kick one here in the same situation.
Oh, no.
Second bounce,
no.
Runs to 45. Third bounce, runs to 30 on the boundary line.
No! No!
That is unbelievable!
No way!
Goal of the year!
Bud's got to find it. He's going to have a go from 80. A bouncing ball. Go through. Piss off. Piss off, Bud.
Bit of pace on here. Now they stretch it to Buddy Franklin. He's got a paddock in front of him. Long ball from Buddy. It's on target. It's an absolute beauty.
Darren Jack's got Franklin. He's got a massive head of steam up. Loves his part of the ground.
Here he is.
Franklin, you genius.
There is nothing better in footy than watching Buddy Franklin on fire. Tonight he plays his 250th game and we've got a very special guest on the line. It's not often, boys, you get a four-time premiership player on the line not to talk about himself. But we are Damo. I know you've got a list of questions for this man. You can't ask
gagged.
Of them.
I'm gagged.
You are gagged. We are asking about Buddy and Buddy only tonight. One of his best mates joins us on the line and we really appreciate it. From the Melbourne Football Club, Jordan Lewis is on the line. G'day, Geordie.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
Hey, great to have you on. When was the first time you laid eyes on the freak that became Buddy Franklin?
It was at the 2004 draft camp, and he'd been in the AIS with Ruffy, so Ruffy knew him quite well, and I knew Ruffy from our basketball days. So Ruffy was initially the connection, but obviously we got drafted together in 2004, and my eyes were open even wider.
Hey, Louis, his first training session, early days at Hawthorn, did you have an indication that he was going to be as good as he's become from the start?
Well, he was just one of those guys, Darth, and even at the draft camp in Canberra, we had a 3K time trial in the morning, then we had things on in the afternoon. So we had about 3 hours spare, and all he did was take his shoes off and just kick the football around corners, around trees for 3 hours straight. And he just had a bundle of energy, but when he came down to Hawthorn, he was exactly that. Anytime training came around, he had a smile from ear to ear.
And Louis, we know what Buddy's been able to do on the field. What about off the field? When do you think he was in his best form?
Oh, I've got to be careful, don't I?
As long as it was a long time ago, you're right.
Yeah, a very, very long time ago. But it's fair to say, he had some good nights out.
As a footballer, what separates him, Geordie? We'll get on to what you guys have got up to and his wedding and stuff like that. But on the footy field, has there been moments that have stuck in your mind that you've thought, I can't see anyone else being able to do something like that?
Yeah, there's a goal that's been spoken about a little bit when he jumped one of my mates, Sam Dwyer, in the middle of the MCG when we played Collingwood. Just that uncanny ability just to trust your instincts. And, I mean, a lot of players play really well with parameters and game plans. He's just one of those guys that is just literally on natural instinct and just game feel. But, I mean, how can you go past the 13 goals that he kicked in Tasmania? He was just on fire and one of those things where, you know, it's a rare sight to see someone in full flight, and that was one of those days.
Louis, and then that came the rumours that he might be leaving Hawthorn, obviously premiership player, you loved him, you're in his wedding party. What did he say to you? Did he ring you? Did you find out the media? What was it like in those moments when you knew Lance Franklin wasn't going to be playing with you anymore?
Yeah, I literally found out the day before it was announced. He called Ruffy and I over to Ruffy's house, and I think we had an inkling what it was about, but we knew he was leaving, but not at one stage did Ruffy or I asked him or he speak to us throughout the year. We just thought if he wanted to speak about it, he would come to us. But, we had no idea where he was going, but we were pretty sure that he was on his way out. So it wasn't literally until the day before it was announced that he told us he was going to Sydney. And I think we were surprised, as most people.
And just on that, Jordan, obviously the second of the four premierships under the Clarkson era was the game, his last game for the footy club. Was there parts of that game, that win against Fremantle in the grand final that year, that you felt that you were playing with him for the last time, that made it even more nostalgic for you?
I can't say I did, but when I look back on footage and I think back through the last weeks that we had together, there were certainly signs that he knew it was going to be his last game. And I think if you see some footage after the grand final and the camera was obviously solely fixed on him, you can tell that he knew. That would have been quite a hard time for him to understand that he's leaving a club that has been so successful that year and leaving so many good memories behind. But, it was funny playing him in the grand final the following year and just being on the other end of it. He might have sort of started to question his decision.
And just what have you made of his form in Sydney? Obviously, he's played in two grand finals out of the 3 years he's been at the club, and the club missed the serious part of the finals the year he ended the season early. Do you feel he's playing as well as ever?
Yeah, I do, and I think he really struggled early on with going to a new team and trying to get that continuity and that sort of in sync with players and as well as the media scrutiny. I didn't think he knew quite what Sydney was like in terms of his off-field stuff, but he's got a fantastic wife in Justina who has been fantastic for him, and he's really matured since he's been in Sydney, and he's become quite the boring sort of person. But his football is certainly, has improved from that, and it's funny, when he first went there, I thought maybe he won't play out his contract, but it's seeming more likely that he will, and he's still such a damaging player, as we saw on the weekend.
Louis, say you're putting together a team to save your life. Who's your first pick, Lance Franklin or Luke Hodge?
To save my life? Probably Hodgie.
That stuffed the segment we've got you on to talk about. Hey, mate, we've spoke a lot about him as the footballer, Louis. Tell us about the man that is Lance Franklin.
Yeah, I suppose if you think about him as a footballer, he is the polar opposite in his real life. He doesn't like being well known, which is quite hard for him. He'd rather go about his business under the radar, but certainly when he steps onto the football field, he wants to be the man. So it's quite funny. You go out to dinner or you go, Lucy and I were up there a couple of weeks ago, and we went out for dinner, and he just wants to go to a quiet place where you don't get recognised, but as soon as those lights come on a Friday night, he wants to be the man. And he found that quite difficult early on, but certainly with age and maturity and sort of the tight-knit group of friends around him, he's become a lot better at it.
Louis, the lights are on tonight. It's his 250th game. He's kicked 795 goals. He's always been unbelievably team-orientated and selfless player. But have you got a sense tonight it might just turn one on for us?
Yeah, I do. And I think, from the first couple of games, he's been playing a little bit further up the field. But I would be surprised if he leaves the 50-metre line and ventures out, because I think he's in for a big bag tonight.
Geordie, you're a star, mate. We really appreciate you coming on, and thanks to the Melbourne Footy Club for having a chat with us, and hopefully Bud can turn it on tonight. Thanks for telling us about your good mate, Buddy Franklin.
Good on you, boys. Always enjoy listening to you.
Good on you. Jordan Lewis on the Friday Huddle. All right, boys, we're going to go straight onto it, and you want to send us on social media, at Triple M Footy, your thoughts on this. Buddy, ranked in terms of key forwards in the last 25 years. Now, that does include the likes of Carey, Lockett, Gary Ablett Sr., etc. So send us your thoughts on at Triple M Footy. Where does Buddy rank in forwards in the last 25 years? Juddy.
I've got him at number 3. I've got the Duck number 1. I've got Plugger in at number 2. And then I've got Buddy in at number 3. But nobody can do what Buddy Franklin's done.
Who's beneath those?
I've got Dunstall 4 and Gary Ablett Sr. number 5.
The Chief would just be stoked to hear that he's one behind Buddy, I would have thought, if he's listening at the moment.
It wouldn't sit well with the Chief. If he had the Volvo, he would have driven it into a fence if he had heard that, knowing the way that man operated, Jason Dunstall. I had the Duck number 1. I had the Chief for number 2. Pains me to say that. Superstar that he was, Tony Lockett. I'd stick Kernaghan at 4, who I loved and just thought his influence all round. I'd Buddy at 5. So Gary Ablett Sr. after that. Chris Grant, underrated. Can't believe Two Man didn't put him in the extended list, which is a disgrace, Two Man, if you're listening back there.
Kernaghan gets overlooked in a lot of these lists. You've obviously...
I grew up idolising him, so you're a bit biased, aren't you, by the people that you love. But in terms of the leader, in terms of what he did at the Carlton Football Club...
Good call.
His record,
good call.
I reckon, stands alone anyway, but the great sticks is right up there for me.
I went Wayne Carey number 1. I like you. I went Dunstall number 2, Lance Franklin number 3, Plugger number 4, and Gary Ablett number 5. But the players you leave out, like Kernaghan, Matthew Lloyd, Matthew Richardson, there's so many good players. Even Warren
Fredrick,
who was a wonderful player. But Franklin, I mean, by the end of it, maybe he's gone past a couple of them.
Fredrick gets overlooked like Kernaghan, doesn't he, too, Dust? I mean, he was an All-Australian 4 years in a row.
Yeah, and I played with Brett Montgomery, Monty and I did, for a long period of time. And he just said, by far and away, the best player that he played with. And he covered a lot of ground, a lot of games. And just said, you just because he was over there and because we didn't see enough of him, but the influence he had over a long period of time over there was extraordinary.
Probably you're lucky Warren Fredrow was able to play at the second half of his career after you tried to kill him over in Dublin when you got out the fire extinguisher and blanketed his room and sucked the whole life.
What did you do, Warren?
This is where you
army roll it to the floor.
What did you do?
Well, Nathan Brown has substituted my name for his because... very foolish incident. Juddy wouldn't have approved of this, but we had a night out.
He would have been
part. I was over there.
Yeah.
You were there. Of course you were. What am I talking about?
Trentus was never the same man after it. So no doubt about it.
Juddy was there. That's exactly right.
I was scarred at 18. Very that's when I started losing my hair, actually. After I watched that.
I will never forget the noise Warren Trevor-Ray made that night. Because we got home after a very, very large night, having won the first game. And I knew we were in strife. We checked in. And we didn't have our room keys. And idiot Brown here says, key for Warren Trevor-Ray. And I thought, where's he going with this? And when you put the key in the door and grab the fire extinguisher, which, to your defence, I think you thought was a water one. But it was
handed it to me. And you stood behind me.
I think
Tredders spray it.
I think Tredders thought the IRA had jumped into his because it sucked the air out, and he made a noise that no human should ever make that night. It was a spool.
And apparently, he struggled to get to the door. He thought that at one point that he wasn't going to make it, and then he got called in front of everybody the next day, and it was pandemonium. But unfortunately for Warren, he didn't get picked in the next
game.
What we did get
called in front of was Wayne Jackson. It was the AFL CEO at the time. Went up to the penthouse suite, and I said, "Brownie, you shut up. I'll hand." Don't speak, whatever you do.
Reasonably serious man too, Dust.
He's pretty serious man, but he actually saw the funny side of this.
Chuckle,
there was
didn't
a bit of damage done to the room and said, "Oh, Wayne, we apologise. This is not representing, our country all that well." And we apologized. He said, "Look, boys will be boys and we'll sort it out. Don't worry about it. A bit of damage to the room. That'll be fine." And then Brownie finds this. "Wayne, I think we'd like to apologise to the whole team." I said, "Shut up, you idiot."
Come on, Nate.
Old Josh Franco got caught in the crossfire too. You're sharing a room with him.
Just had a bit of a discussion about where Buddy Franklin rates in the top forwards of the last 25 years. Juddy, you gave him number...
Number 3 after Carey and Plugger, I've gone with.
Okay. Number five for me, Howie, just after Stix Kuhn, Tony Lockett, Jason Dunstall and the King Wayne Carey.
Number three after Carey and Dunstall.
We're giving away a footy tonight. Send us through your thoughts on that very question or any question you want to ask the boys. We'll try and get them through rapid fire about 20 past seven. Damo, it's been blowing up on Facebook.
It has. Adam Douglas feels Gary Ablett stand out for number one. Lockett, Dunstall, Ablett was the view of Nick Males, not Carey. Jeff Owen and Andrew Cousins, both on Twitter and Facebook, have really gone hard for Modra, who's forgotten in this conversation. Given he was still playing within the time frame, Brownie probably deserved a look in somewhere in the eyes of some. And Michael Thompson said Matthew Lloyd, very unlucky to not be discussed.
It's a great era, that era of Lockett, Dunstall, Kernahan, Modra, isn't it? It's an amazing era where Buddy Franklin stands alone, particularly in the last 15. He stands alone, head and shoulders above everybody.
So Nick Rewalt, Jonathan Brown as well in that conversation, too, in the last...
Matty Pavlich, absolutely. In more recent times.
And Josh Kennedy's probably putting himself into the fringes of it, maybe.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? I mean, I think he's a standout forward in the game at the moment. So fair way to go yet before you're talking in that sort of echelon. But
we just got a little tweet too. What about Damien Cupido? I'm not sure whether he quite fits into that part of the equation.
Cupido.
Hasn't had a great week from what I understand.
Paul Bailey on Facebook. I'm not sure he fits in. All right. Very, very happy in here to have a new guest just wandering in. This is a man that's unfortunately got his arm in a sling. His name is Dane Rampey, a star from the Sydney Swans. He joins us now. G'day, Dane. How are you?
Very well, boys. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to see you. Obviously, we had the Jordan Dugowie incident where he claimed that a dog had caused him to be injured. Obviously, you've had a similar situation which you've lied to the club about because you're being claimed that you fell over a chain on a training run and now you got arm in a sling. What were you really doing?
No, I was getting back from a big night out on the beer.
Right, yeah, we've got it. Now, what happened, mate? What happened?
No, mate, unfortunately, there's no really, there's not too interesting a story behind it. I was literally going for a recovery lap and I thought I could make a 20-centimetre jump over a chain and it's caught my back leg and it's flung me into the ground.
And so, how do you go reporting that to the medical staff?
Well, I didn't. I was lucky enough to be, went up to the stadium clinic for an x-ray and let the strength and conditioning coach do the job telling Horse and... I heard he was hoarse after the round he gave.
So how long are you out for? When are you back?
Mate, it's hard to tell at the moment. I've got in a brace now that I need to keep it out from getting out. If it goes out any more, then I might need surgery. So maybe, I think it's around 8 weeks at this stage.
So the steeplechase is off for the next lot of Olympics?
Off. And that's a shame. I've got a personal vendetta against the chain, obviously. So if you've got your dog, if you're walking your dog by there, feel free to let it cock its leg on it or if anyone's got any bolt cutters, feel free to... Use them when you can.
Hey, Dane, can you believe how bad your luck is? You've had an incredible time in the game as one of the great defenders, an All-Australian defender, and you've had a great run injury-wise. To be cut down like this, it's just a freak of nature.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I mean, I had a pretty good run. I think I was on 98 straight, which is this is the first time I've actually watched the game at the SCG, so it's all new to me. But, you know, I was going to say that's footy, but I guess it wasn't on the footy field. So like that's just life, and... you know, I can't really do much about it. All my energy is now just focused on recovering and hopefully getting the best out of my body.
And what sort of exercise can you do? Can you get on a bike or is there some leg weights you can do in your current state or have you just got to do complete
rest? Yeah, at the moment, Juddy, it's locked in 90 degrees. So if it goes out, it's about 10 degrees out my radial head. If it goes out another 5 degrees, I'll need surgery. So it's got to stay locked in for it to not need surgery, which is worst case scenario, I'll need a plate and probably add a month on recovery time. So... I've got to keep still for the next probably week or two now and then, you know, hopefully jump on the bike. And the good thing is once it's past that point, I should be able to start running and whatnot from then on in.
Been talking a lot about Buddy Franklin, 250 games. I'd imagine most of the pre-season games you'd be probably matched up on him. What's it like to play him at training and have him around the footy club?
Yeah, he's well, obviously his record speak for itself. He's a big presence out there and... him along with Sam Reed, I actually really love playing on them because in training, obviously, they're, you know, Reedy as well, two of the best in the game at the moment, going about their business and you can learn. I feel like if I go all right on them, then I'm pretty well prepared for any other player I face on the weekend.
And Dane, you're in the system, Damo, for a while. You trained at the Bulldogs, I believe, over a pre-season period. And do you look back and think they had no idea or the fact that you were overlooked? Because as soon as you've played... at an incredibly high level, and as you said, 98 games in a row and all Australian. Was there something back then that was missing that you've changed in your game?
I think it was just the maturity and just, I guess, learning footy ropes. I went down to Melbourne a little bit naive of what I thought I could achieve. I got lucky enough to be invited for a pre-season at the Bulldogs at the end of 2009, I think, and I'll obviously no ill grudges towards them. I simply wasn't ready then. While I was getting training, it's a blessing in disguise that I didn't get picked up. I genuinely believe that had I been picked up, I wouldn't be playing today. So I think
Why wouldn't you be playing?
I think it's more just the lessons I learned over the next probably 3 years over footy. I learned not to take footy too seriously. I wasn't defined by it in the end. I lived the life outside when I came back to Sydney, and I think that really helped me transitioning into the AFL, because I felt like I was getting my shot, but you know, there was more to life other than that, and that just helped me go about it in a free way.
What is that to you? What is more to life than footy?
Oh well, I think obviously as a young kid, and I'm sure it's the same for every other young kid, you grow up wanting to play AFL, and it's your be-all, and you're defined by it, by your friends. You're like, oh, you know, you're near it. When's it going to happen? And as I said, you can become defined by it. So I think coming back and realizing that, you know, enjoying the simple things in life, you know, you can get real caught up in the craze that, especially when I was living down in Melbourne, the fishbowl kind of bubble was a real shock to me, a shock to the system. Everyone was talking about it. And it was just a real big weight off my shoulders when I realised that there was more to life.
Okay. The Swans, they did it last year, and they appear to be following a similar path this year by playing young kids, giving first games to a lot of players, and yet still competing. Now, I know the scoreboard at this stage has you 0-2, but you're still prepared to blood young players, aren't you, as you go toward another premiership, potentially?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, hats off to the recruiting staff. They do recruit well, and not only them, but the development coaches in Reece Shaw and Nick Davis are really good at getting the boys to come up to the required level, and they do step up generally when they do step in. We saw Robbie Fox, Will Hayward, and Nick Newman last week, play a really important role. They didn't look out of place at all, and I think it's, you know, credit to the club and as well, I think our senior players and leaders that, you know, lead the way and let them know that, you know, you come in, you play your role, and you'll be all right.
Speaking to Dane Rampey, all Australian, tripped over a rope, broke his arm here at the SCG, and it
so
is the truth.
We're going
to roll with it. There was a campaign launched last week for Dan Hannanbury to get back on the beers. That he's changed his routine, Dane, and it's not working for him. Is that the case? You need to have a few more frothies.
I don't know what to say about that, mate. No. Well, Hannes has honestly made a decision. Obviously,
Is he offered for the year?
He's offered for the year.
Okay,
and that's what he's told us. And that's probably something that he needs to do off the field. He was, you know, especially coming off that knee injury in the grand final. I thought he'd think that'd be the best way moving forward for him, recovering wise, and obviously him taking his next step in his obviously leadership. And he's just, I can't explain how driven he is and a professional he is. He wants to get the best out of himself.
So that was his call. No one got to him and said,
It was completely his call, right. And hats off to him. And he's sticking by it. And I guarantee this form thing's not going to last long. He's going to come out sooner rather than later and start tearing heads apart.
It's going to be a tough year for him. But we hear that you are a bit of a free spirit, and then you travel through Portugal and Spain. And I've just got a photo of one of your hotel rooms here in Spain. Can you let us know how much per night that cost? Because when you got Chris Judd and Luke Darcy here, when Darcy goes to a hotel, there's actually a red carpet rolled out, the gold bars down the side. I mean, that is some real backpacker stuff.
Yeah. that was in Seville in Spain, I think. It was my first night, actually, in Spain, and it really hit me... The language barrier. I'd never really... Portugal, they do speak quite a bit of English. I caught the train to Spain and it just hit me for six. It was 11:30 late at night and no one knew a word of English. So I just had to kind of rustle up what coins I had and try and get a... It was actually a bed and breakfast that it was. It wasn't...
What was the breakfast like?
The cereal and some malt milk. That was about it.
Dane, tremendous respect for you because you obviously model yourself on Bodie from Point Break, which I really, really respect. You've got that whole thing going on. You obviously can't surf at the moment, but you're a big wave surfer in Sydney. Where do you get out? Have you travelled overseas and got a few waves? What have you got for me?
I was over in Portugal, obviously. Yeah, speaking of big waves, Nazar, where they have the big wave surfing. I don't know if you guys know that red lighthouse.
Yes. You didn't paddle out there. Now you are telling lies.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But it's good to watch. And then there were some good waves along the coast there. Out here, it's a bit of a hassle with all the backpackers and tourists getting in your way. But, you know, that can actually be pretty fun sometimes, trying to knock them off. But
welcome to Sydney if you're listening.
Yeah. But, I'll try and get away when I can. But, you know, It's all good.
All right, Dane, we really appreciate your time. Hopefully we see you back soon playing footy for the
Good on you, Dane. Islands.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dane, a lot of news happening in the AFL.
Okay, look, we'll bank through some. Josh Kelly, the nine-year deal from North Melbourne is real. Now, whether it's $9 million or $8.5 million or even more than nine, but the 9 years is real, guys. It's a lot of money, and it comes on the back of offering Isaac Heaney, Juddy, 7 years, and he said no very quickly to that offer that came in the most recent off-season.
Just on that, Dane, is that a new tactic, like with Buddy Franklin? If you want to get a gun player, you mightn't even be concerned, Jody, if they're going to see out 9 years, what they're going to look like, and you offer them that amount of security up front. Do you reckon that's a trend we're going to keep seeing or not?
I dare say it is, and I guess, I mean, Josh Kelly will see out that sort of time frame. Yeah. I guess, too, you also get a bit of help with inflation of the salary cap, that the offer today isn't quite as big as what it looks in 9 years' time, but regardless, it's a very sizable offer.
The only thing you'd say with that, Buddy Franklin and Gary Ablett were the best players in the game when they did it. Josh Kelly is pretty much new to this game.
Yes. They also are into Dustin Martin, like a lot of other clubs are, and if you believe what the industry is saying about North Melbourne, they feel as though they're equipped and able to get more than one of these names. Now, why a player would want to go there, I think that's yet to be played out, given where the club's at, but they're certainly in the market.
Well, that's a really good question. If you're a young GWS player, and everyone's talking about their list, not just this year, but next year and the year after, as footballers, surely the one thing you want to do is win a premiership. You've got more chance of doing that in the GWS in the next couple of years, you'd think, Juddy, than you would at the North Melbourne Footy Club. So it's an interesting choice for those boys.
Look, it is. And I think, too, you've also got to measure up between Dustin Martin, who's a free agent, who you don't have to trade for, versus Josh Kelly, who you do have to trade for. So it's a bit of a formula of taking into account not just the dollars, but the players as well. So.
Yeah. And while North thinks they're in a good position, so too does GWS. And for what it's worth, the way I read it this week, guys, I feel Josh Kelly will stay at the Giants, but obviously a lot to play out. And it's money that you just can't immediately say no to. Just before we move off GWS, Brett Delidio, as we know, recruit from Richmond, got through the early parts of the preseason really well, then had an issue with the recurrence of the calf problems. Is not going to be seen on any form of AFL ground now for at least another 4 weeks from this week, and it may well be longer than that before we see him. And then you have to work out, does he come straight back into the AFL, or does he have to get some going in? So we could be in a situation where it's close to the halfway point of the season before he's back there. But again, it's in keeping with what they want him to do. They want him there for September, so they've still got time, but it's not working out the ideal way for them. Nick Riewoldt officially back into the Saints team to play Brisbane on the weekend. Sean Dempster, guys, we said this on the Footy Show last week, and again, I'm not backing away from my reporting of it, despite the St Kilda supporters telling me that I should. Disappointed that he was left out of round one. If he was selected in round one and then had form that warranted round two performance and then into round three this weekend, we would not be talking about this concussion issue. That's just the order of the timeline. We'll also go back to Alan Richardson, the coach of the Saints. At the time, he left Dempster out of that round one team as to what he said was going on with Sean Dempster.
Shinner had a really positive pre-season, really fit and healthy, just wasn't in fantastic form in his first couple of games. That's all that was. So I would expect, not unlike Paddy, I'd expect Sean Dempster to play a lot of footy for us this year. He's still a really important and valuable player.
OK, that's Alan Richardson. So he was being economical with what was going on there at the time. It caused confusion. Sean Dempster today on SEN had a crack at, he said media, and it's there's no doubt he's having a crack at me in some form when he says this.
I think the question, the way that we handled it probably wasn't the best. It allowed for a lot of speculation, given that I suppose the club knew where I stood and how and what I'm like as a person, and they probably just tried to think, oh, well, it won't gain any traction if they just don't talk about it. But I guess not talking about it caused more questions.
That's Sean Dempster. He was quite expansive in that interview on SEN and also on the club's website yesterday.
He went on to say that he was more than happy to play in the VFL, and he's played in the VFL before, Damien, which was slightly different to what you were reporting to us in the last couple of weeks.
No, Howie, he played in the JLT3 VFL, did not want to play on the subsequent weekend, and that is how it played out. And as such, the concussion issue has come to bear as a result of refusing to play in the VFL.
Damo, is there a financial element to this now that he has retired because of the concussion issue? Does he get a compensation payout? Does he negotiate one? Where does that go?
All he's going to do, as far as I read it, Darce, there's no specific payment relating to the concussion, but what he will be able to do is get a form of payment out of what he was meant to get this year on his contract, which which was a one-year deal.
Are you becoming more aware, Juddy, as footballers, and you're the one here that's just most recently out of the game, about the concussion issue? We've seen in the last couple of years a few players now starting to pull the pin. Is it more of a talking point within the footy club walls and within the players themselves?
It definitely is. And we've seen more and more players retire with really significant head injuries. You know, Matt Maguire. You know, there's been a number who've been struggled to drive or struggled with certain cognitive tasks due to serious concussion. And it may well be that he was prepared to take that risk to play AFL footy.
Yeah.
He just wasn't prepared to take that risk to play VFL. And I can sort of understand that.
And Jody, he's how it played out. Yeah, that's the reason we're talking about the concussion now. If he was playing round one, round two, round three AFL, he's playing football full stop. But he didn't want to do it in the VFL.
And it is a risk
that's
all the players take each week. And to have that risk for a VFL game, I can understand his position.
Yep.
As a parent, Darce and Jody, you've got boys. Do you have any concerns about them going into the world of AFL? If they said to you, soccer or footy, Dad, would you send them down a certain path thinking about the head knocks, or you don't even think about it?
No, I wouldn't even think about it. But, I mean, if you were watching your kid play and he had multiple concussions, then I'm sure you'd start thinking about it pretty quickly.
Yeah, something my 13-year-old had a concussion the other day, actually, Howie, coming home from school. And it's funny, your own career, you don't think about it. When you see it through the eyes of your 13-year-old, you get the call from school that needs to go, you know, in an ambulance, and your awareness about that is, you know, he's fine, only took a couple of days, and he's back on track and okay. But you are thinking about how long is that out? Whereas us as kids, you wouldn't have played that day. So there's
which is good that you're thinking about it.
Absolutely, a lot more awareness around junior football and concussion. That's for sure.
Let's go down to the boundary for the first time this evening to Troy Luff. Luffy.
Robert Harvey, thanks for joining us on Triple M Football. Now, the SCG, very unfamiliar territory to most of the players. I've had a look. You've only played here a couple of times the past decade or so. Did you get a chance to have a run around yesterday?
Yeah, we came up yesterday and had a training session. Our list has turned over a lot anyway the last couple of years. We played round one here last year, which was a terrible experience for us in itself. But we had a look around and kick around last night. It's obviously a bit of a unique ground, so some guys that have played here we're able to feel their experience about that. But, obviously, obviously the centre bounce is really important here, and you know, guarding that corridor and using corridor yourself in offence is pretty important. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Harvest, I want to speak to you about Adam Treloar, who's had a great couple of weeks offensively. His defensive efforts have been questioned in the past week. Do you see that as an issue, or are you okay with the way that's going?
No, he's worked really hard on it. I think... Overall, our midfield was a bit off last week. They just didn't have as much juice in the tank as they did in round one. And obviously, they were really up for the Bulldogs game. But I think the six-day break didn't help that. And Adam played really well last week, and he has played well for the first two rounds. So he's working really hard on his defensive stuff. And since he's come to the club, he's improved out of sight. So he's not an issue from our end at all.
Harv's been a big issue of goal kicking the first 2 weeks. In your opinion, do players do enough goal kicking, or do the fitness coaches have too much of a say in how much they do?
Oh, look, I know our blokes do a lot of it. Whether it's enough, I'm not sure, but they do a hell of a lot of work on it, Brownie. So, in the end, as you know, like having played in front of goals yourself, a lot of it comes down to between the ears, and you can train for as much as you like, but when you're in that pressure situation, you've got to be able to see it going through, and that's the challenge. So, guys like Fasolo, who we almost bank in for goals, are missing goals in the first two rounds. So, in the end, it's more dealing with them mentally to get them in the right frame of mind to be able to kick goals more than anything.
And, Robert, down at the other end of the ground, there's a big role tonight to be played, isn't there, by Henry Shard. He's probably going to line up on Sam Reed, but Buddy Franklin may well be a target also. A big night for him coming up.
Yeah, I reckon those two boys, and even though they haven't won any games, I reckon Reed in particular is probably one of the form forwards in the league from a tall point of view, and obviously Franklin. So but our boys, Howe, Goldsack and Shade, will have their hands full tonight, definitely, and they play really deep, those boys, so they like to be isolated deeper. So they're going to be in one-on-ones, we know that, but to their credit, those boys, they've been pretty good in the first two rounds in that area, so it's going to come down to just a will and a aggression to get it done one-on-one. So and you know, Shady's come from the Gold Coast. He's earned great respect amongst our group, and we've got good confidence whether he plays Franklin or Reed that he can get that done.
Harves, you've been at Collingwood for a number of years now. Does it still surprise you that wall-to-wall coverage your club that you're involved with gets now this week. You know, every day, Nathan Buckley's future question. The whole club was just back and front page of the paper again all this week. Is that something you get used to, or is it still what's going on here? Why do we get saturated with so much coverage?
I think it's footy these days, but I mean, obviously, Colin, we get more of it. But in the end, it comes down to actions, and if you're not winning games, it's going to come. So, you know, for the first two rounds that we've played, we've been in really good winning positions both times. So it's not, we're not a million miles off. We just got to get a result, and hopefully, we come here tonight to get that. Clearly, externally, the pressure builds on that sort of stuff. We just got to bunker down as a group, and as every team says, and control your controllables, and I think that's what we're trying to do here. It's good to get away and out of Melbourne for us to get up here and be on a mission type setup when we're coming up to Sydney and try and knock over the Swannies. So that's what we want to do tonight. You know, we're not, as I said to you, we're not a million miles off. We're playing some pretty good footy in patches. We just got to finish our work and hopefully we can do that tonight.
Robert, just as we let you go, your own coaching career, read with interest in the paper in the last couple of days that you're doing your level 4 coaching certificate. And there was a discussion from the elders in the coaching fraternity, the likes of Clarkson and Malthouse, that they firmly believed assistant coaches need to coach their own team first. Where do you sit on that?
I'm not sold either way. I think the system, the way it's set up now, doesn't lend that to be done really easily. The guys that have been in the system, like Clarko, Beveridge, those guys that have done Bolton, the guys that they did it first, like they actually coached their team first. So it's hard to go back and do that at the end once you've been in the system for a while. So unless they change that structure of it, like, it's really hard to do. I'd love to be able to coach my own team, but in the end, how do you do it now? Like, you know, I've been in that assistant coaching role for 7 or 8 years. How do I go back and now coach my own team before I do that? The system's not really set up for that. So, you know, I think to come straight out of footy and go into that role as those guys did is the way to do it.
Haz, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and
Cheers.
The Collingwood
Thank
Footy
you.
Club tonight. If you want to get involved in this game, hashtag AFL Swans Pies. Social media has blown up with Judge Juddy. Juddy, you gave 3 votes worst on ground to Travis Cloke's father because you thought...
Well, that Travis didn't need him throwing his 2 bobs worth in.
No, and then this came to light that your mother actually wrote a song about you, and Brownie, you couldn't believe it. You quite rightly told us that parents should never get involved in a son's AFL career. We've got a fella on the line that wants to pull you up about that. John is on the line. G'day, John.
Yeah, g'day, Howie.
You're obviously listening to that discussion. You had something you wanted to add to it.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to set the record straight. I've noticed that Brownie was quite silent during that discussion because
he was. Because Luffy got him.
Yeah, I'm looking at a book, and the title of it is Brownie, My Son, the Footballer, by his mum.
Oh, John, I really appreciate you calling in on that. We need a prize for you, John. Now, that got through to the keeper, Brownie, because I remember being interviewed by Michelle Brown for that very book.
Oh, I couldn't break her heart when she came to me with the idea of a book. I thought, oh, yeah, I just played along with it. And then all of a sudden she was at the point of having a book deal, and I'm like, I couldn't have had too many wheels in motion by this stage. And I'm getting texts from you big idiot. I'm getting texts from Robert Murphy, Richo, going, why is your mum calling me? I just
I didn't have more to that. I reckon there's a fair bit of input by Brownie, because if you look at the cover of the book, he's doing the right-handed index finger pump up in the air. Like, you can tell he's had a fair bit of input.
You reckon he might have chosen the cover shot, John? You're not buying the fact that he wasn't involved in it. It's good on you, Johnny. Thanks for calling through with
so
that
what,
one.
So what was the gist of the book, Nate? It was called My Son the Footballer, was it?
It was. It was...
Brownie! Nate, what are you doing?
It was from a mother's point of view. And as you know, all mothers love their sons. And like Juddy's mum, I just couldn't quite get over that one. Oh.
It sounds very cute. I'm just wondering why you didn't pipe up with it half an hour earlier when we were on topic.
It wasn't exactly a bestseller.
Very, very silent. I remember a very interesting night with Michelle Brown, your mum. Very emotional night. The night that you left and went to Richmond, and Michelle decided, because Brownie, I think, had an unbelievable year and he was going to the Tigers. Michelle turned up. It's one of Robert Murphy's favourite stories. She turned up at the Best and Fairest, which Nate didn't attend because he changed clubs. She had a pretty big night, Michelle, fair to say.
She had a
couple, Michelle. Very emotional that her son wasn't going to be with his former mates, and very concerned that she couldn't find Nate's trophy that night. So she spent the night going around, where's Nate's trophy? So,
well, we need to get a copy of that book and call freestyle Brian. Maybe Juddy or Damien can raise a few exits.
It's also discussed earlier on the show, and at Triple M Footy, we were discussing where Buddy fits in the top forwards in the last 25 years. We've got a lot of advice too.
Well, social media's blown up on this front as well. Howie, fair to say. Let's go through some. Alistair McCook says, unsure how anyone can rank Franklin above Lockett, Nabler, or even Kerry and Dunstall. Buddy, brilliant, but not immortal. Has to be in the top five for sure, says Kelvin. Only Plugger, Dunstall, Kerry ahead of him in my book. Clayton Martin says, behind Lockett, Kerry, Dunstall, Ablett, Kernahan, then Buddy, then Lloyd, then Modra, just for the hangers. Ablett Senior was the best by far, says Trent McDonald, Juddy.
Steve Kilmartin's gone, where is Richo? Adrian Porter, Kernahan in front of Ablett, think not Darcy. And as a Darnell, Richo better than Buddy, 800 goals in a mostly poor side, superior mark, ran harder and further, almost won a Brownlow, sounds like as is definitely a Richmond supporter.
And just continuing that theme, Sam Meehan suggesting Franklin's a better player than Ablett Senior is outrageous.
And then there was just an interesting one that says, please tell me Purple has prescription sunnies on, otherwise the 80s have cooled and want their sunnies and want to be attitude back. Thanks to Adam for they got some new specs, Damo.
I'm blind, Darcy, as you know. So the sunglasses that go on this face are very much prescription. About minus five, the reading, I think, is, which is legally blind.
If I changed the question and said to you the most exciting forward in the last 25 years, how high would Buddy go at that point? Because for me, coming to the footy tonight, like last week we saw it, in 15 minutes, he played 15 minutes of absolute scintillating footy.
Well, Ablett Senior goes right up in my mind. Then he goes to number one as the most exciting.
I think the thing that Buddy does that no one has ever done before is that forward 50 pressure that's become so important in today's game. And never before have we seen a tall forward do that like Buddy does.
And let's be honest, he's done it mainly from centre-half forward, where a lot of those other guys played exclusively out of the full forward line.
It's where the Chief was a freak ahead of his time, wasn't he? He was a defensive forward animal, the Chief, when no one even bothered to lay a tackle. Alongside kicking 1,300 goals or whatever he did in the end.
Well, cost himself the equal 18-goal-per-game record when he was down the back pocket in the last 10 minutes of that game.
Against the
Chiefs. Chasing Scotty Turner, wasn't it?
Triple M rocks footy.